Today's Fan Run Podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of the UFC, has a heavyweight offer for this weekend's fight with 100-1 odds. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN when you sign up to turn $1 into $100 when you bet on the main card fighter to win. That's code FANRUN in all caps. For a limited time and only at DraftKings Sportsbook, must be 21 or older and Tennessee only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789.
It's that time of the day of the week.
Yawn it out there, big guy.
Good Lord. Do I sound funny today? Or is it just my new headphones? Because they're the same as the old ones, but they sound different. It's the newer model.
You sound fine.
Same?
Yeah.
Okay.
Why? You think you sound different?
Well, I definitely sound different, but I just don't know if I sound different. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that makes perfect sense.
Yeah. I figured it would once I explained it. Well, it's that time of the day of the week. It's Davey. It's the Depot. It is the Davey Depot, your host today and every day, Davey Hudson.
To dive right in, today's fact of the day.
Don't you want to wish the audience a happy day?
Bleep them. All right, today's fact of the day. The difference between jam and jelly is that jam is made with mashed up fruit while jelly is made with fruit juice. Preserves are like jam, but made with more whole fruit. Marmalade is preserves made from citrus fruit. No comment? Okay. There you go.
I actually knew that, but it's a good fact for people to know the difference between jams, jellies, preserves.
Marmalade.
Citrus, right.
Fact of the day.
You big marmalade guy?
I don't remember really like having it.
I don't like citrus jellies. Jams, preserves, marmalade.
Do you just put them on biscuits?
What?
Like jam, jelly, like what? I like some people like randomly use jams and jellies for, I don't know, just like, I feel like it doesn't have an exact use. Primarily, like, I like a
PBJ.
Okay, so, like, yeah, Sam, do you choose jelly or jam?
Jelly. Smuckers. Strawberry. Hate grape. Can't get down.
I'm fine with either.
Okay.
Today's banger of the day. We got the Blitzkrieg Bop by the Ramones. You can't help but like just like start bobbing your head whenever that comes on. But all right, so that's the banger.
Okay.
Gambling update. Last night went 2-1, won both Major League Baseball games. I got my ass handed to me in hockey. The Minnesota Wild did not show up. They got beat 4-0. Not ideal. But we move on today. My pick for Major League Baseball, I'm going with the Atlanta Braves, money line. I got them -150. Apparently, they've not been good against the Blue Jays. I think that changes today. I know
they have not been good against the Blue Jays.
A lot of our listeners are Braves fans, so they'll probably be like, What are you doing? I don't know. Model says take the Braves. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take the Braves.
All right. The Braves are winless against Toronto all season. 0-5. But you like them today?
Yes, I do.
Who's pitching?
1 second. I wrote that down.
Take your time. It's your depot. Riveting stuff.
The pitcher is Charlie Morton.
Morton. Who's pitching for Toronto?
Ross Stripling.
Stripling. Got it. That is correct. What is first pitch time?
12:20
P.M.
No, in the morning. Yeah, of course P.M.
All right.
It's an early one. It's an early one.
Where's the game being played?
Atlanta.
Also correct.
All my P's and Q's. What can I tell you?
Yeah, you're definitely on it.
On it.
Okay. Transitioning into my movie review, I do also, this isn't a Depot topic, but I do want to get into the NFL schedule update. I'm kind of upset that you guys have kind of just stalled and not wanted to talk about that today. It's pretty big news. You know, we got some primetime games for the Titans, but
you could have brought it up at any moment. You are the executive producer of the show. Although maybe.
But he took an hour and 15 minutes to say.
Maybe that title doesn't fit.
Hey guys, sorry, I had bad sausage.
Because he was hungover or something like that.
Not hungover.
But you were.
I wanted to be, but I'm not. Are you ready for the movie review?
I thought you just said you wanted to get into the schedule.
Yeah, later on in the show, not now. I said that was like a foreshadowing for like later on. You know, you got to set these things up. Granted, it wasn't very graceful, but I just said I want to get to it later, and that's what I want to do.
Okay, but this is the Depot.
Mm-hmm.
Right. This is where you talk about whatever you want to talk about.
That doesn't mean I can't ask questions and get answers to those questions.
You're stalling. What movie are you reviewing today?
The movie is called The Colony. I was trying to think
The Colony.
Of what would be a... I gone comedy the last couple of days. Mm-hmm. So this movie, if you remember way back to how the movie review started, I reviewed a movie under the name Frozen.
Mm-hmm.
Starred Kevin Zegers. Kevin Zegers is the same kid that was in Air Bud.
Yeah, different Frozen, for those who are confused.
Yeah, not the kid flick. Kevin Zegers is also in The Colony. This movie is set in 2030. Well, it's not set. It's set in like 2040-something, but it took place as far as being released in the year 2013. Kevin Zegers, Lawrence Fishburne, and Bill Paxton. Those are the main guys we have. This film, what has happened, it's like a post-apocalyptic world, okay? The world has gone cold. It's a whole other movie about climate change.
Ice Age.
But everything's frozen over. But we have these colonies that these people live in, these bunkers pretty much underneath the ground, but there's a good amount they can travel to them, but it's, of course, very difficult terrain. You're going through like a bunch of snow, just... It's a real hike and a half, okay?
Hike and a half, got it.
So Kevin Zegers and his crew, they live at like a colony. I can't remember which number they have, but they're going to another colony or they're trying to get in contact with them. And essentially they're trying to find places on the planet that the Earth has thawed and that they could like grow crops because, of course, they're having to grow all these crops under the ground, and like they're greenhouses, but obviously no sunlight. They're struggling to get a flourishing garden to where they can sustain themselves, but they are also having to battle disease.
Mm.
Okay. If you know anything about diseases, obviously if there's one going around, you don't want to be in close proximity with someone with that disease.
I'm pretty sure everyone at this point is pretty familiar with a disease.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So, but again.
Colony 7, by the way.
Ah, Colony 7. Okay. So there's another colony that they can't get in contact with, and they're like, all right, five, colony five. Houston puts up five fingers. Yep. They're really four fingers and a thumb. But so as we are going to make this journey to colony five, it's like Kevin Zegers, I don't remember his name. Bill Paxton's kid, Grayland, maybe?
Graydon.
Sounds like a Game of Thrones name, but all right. So
you're all over it, bud.
Graydon and Lawrence Fishburne. So they go.
Briggs.
Say Riggs or Briggs?
Briggs.
Briggs. I like Riggs better. Riggs and Murtaugh, you know?
Yeah,
Lethal Weapon.
You gotcha, yeah.
All right, so Briggs and this crew. I'll deal with that later. Briggs, Kevin Zegers, Graydon. They head on over. But it turns out
Kevin Zeekers is Sam,
the kid from Air Bud. So they head over, and it turns out that this colony had been taken over by like a bunch of like this cannibalistic tribe. Mm. The production for this film's not very good. So they head over there and they find this one guy. Maybe his name's Lance. I don't know. We're going to go with Lance. And so Lance is like...
Leland.
Okay. So Leland is...
You're right there.
Is hunkered down in this one room with like equipment where he can see like the cameras within Colony 5. And he's freaking out. But of course, this cannibalistic group has managed to get inside and killed everyone. So the three guys from Colony 7 finally get into Colony 5. They're talking to Leland, and he's like, no, I can't come out. I can't come out or whatever. And so they continue to scope out the area, and then they walk around this one corner, and there's this one guy just like cutting up a body, okay? And you're like, what the bleep's going on here? And then all these other cannibals are just sleeping. And so then Graydon, it's kind of like they're cannibals. It's really hard to describe because they... I guess the picture the director is trying to paint is that obviously they're cannibals and they've gone to where they're complete savages, but the way they interact is like as if they've kind of got like this zombie look to them at the same time. But they've survived out in the cold, which they don't ever explain how, and it's like it's super cold, and this one guy, like the leader of the cannibals, he's just walking around with like his shirt off. All right, like human evolution hadn't gotten to the point. It's only been 30 years, technically, from the time of when the movie is released versus the future in 2040 something.
45.
So they didn't really paint that very well. I didn't like it. And so now you just see Graydon. He just starts getting stabbed. Like just randomly, like the guy just comes up, just starts stabbing him multiple times. I'm like, what's going on here? They're very bad storytelling. Okay, and so then after he gets stabbed, Briggs and Sam are like, oh man, we got to get out of here. They might have had to grab something. I really don't remember. This last time I saw this movie was probably 2014. And so whenever that is going on, they then get out. But now the cannibals are like, oh, well, they're probably just going to lead us back to their colony. And so they start heading back to Colony 7. And at one point, they're wanting Briggs and Sam like take refuge in this helicopter that crashed. And as that is happening, the cannibals are following them. Lawrence Fishburne's like, you know what? I gotta like blow the bridge with some dynamite that I have, and hopefully that'll stop them from coming back to Colony 7. I also forgot to mention that they think that they found this one area where there's these giant like wind turbines that can create their own atmosphere within like a, I don't know, like a 100-yard radius or whatever. Mm. And like that area of the world is thawed or around that. But the problem was like there were a bunch of these devices that can regulate the atmosphere, but they all broke down at some point. And so these colonies are trying to locate them using like satellite footage and whatnot. But so we're back to the dynamite scene. And so they try to blow the bridge, but the fuse doesn't go. And so Lawrence Fishburne's like, I'm going to sacrifice myself. So he comes back, ends up lighting it as he's being killed by the cannibals. He takes a good bit of the cannibals with him in the process. And so then Kevin Zegers is like, you know what? I'm going to head back, and I gotta warn my people. But it's like, bro, they could still follow you. And so now he's just led the cannibals back to Colony 7 to put all of those people in danger. I don't know if I mentioned it, but the Graydon kid, that's Bill Paxton's dad. Bill Paxton or Bill Paxton is Graydon's dad, and it's going terribly because, of course, like now his son's dead. He's like a bad second in command, but when Lawrence Fishburne left to go on this hike to Colony 5, he left like Kevin Zeger's girlfriend in charge, and so Bill Paxton didn't like that. Their whole chain of command's whack. And so then... let's see what happens. All I really remember is Kevin Zegers leads the crew or the cannibals back to the colony. They manage to break in. There's a giant explosion. Bill Paxton's mad at Sam. Which this was like a bad movie for Bill Paxton. Did he die recently?
I don't know.
Bill, if you're listening, well, if he's dead, he's not listening. All right. Well, either way. Bill, if you're listening, I'm sorry. Adam, check that out. Find out if Bill Paxton's still alive.
Bill or Phil? You just said
Bill. Bill.
Bill Paxton.
I swear you said Phil.
Twister.
So, anyway, we get back there. The cannibals are, like, taking over the colony, and Bill Paxton dies at some point in the movie. Maybe in real life, too. I'm not sure. And then, as we get to one point, they've, like, hey, we found this one area that's, like, thawed. We can take the seeds from the, like, greenhouse and then try to live there. And they sneak through a tunnel, but the main cannibal's still alive, and so then Kevin Zegers has to kill the main cannibal, and they just leave the colony, and that's the colony.
Bill Paxton died at 61 in 2017 of a stroke.
Ouch. All right, so...
Well, at least he wasn't listening.
Yeah, that's good for him. So I give this movie a thumbs down. Actually, a thumb and a half down. Thumb and a half. This is... One.
Boy, tomorrow is a big one for you.
I thought I knocked it out of the park. I think I painted a very good picture for this film.
At least he just didn't quote it the whole time. Got some plot in there.
He didn't have a single quote. Now that I check.
Bad balance.
Okay. Anything else, Dave?
No, that's pretty much it for today.
Okay.
So what are we looking at? 3.2, 3.5?
I didn't listen to one bit of it. What do you have?
I'll have to think. I don't want to rush to, you know.
I'll give you a 2 out of 4, Davey.
It's a passing grade. I'll take it. It means I can take off tomorrow.
For zero prep. Not too bad.
Two?
Yeah,
that's how it's how we overcome adversity, Adam. That was like case in point just there. Okay.
That was the depot.
Ladies and gentlemen.
So I passed. I guess if you guys aren't going to give me a grade, I'm just going to go ahead and send it to break. We'll come back on the other side.
Fair enough.
You're listening to 3 and Out, WKGN. Fan Run Radio.
Your pet is... Three M Volcall says we should send out a tweet with the 4 different grades and let Twitter help decide the depot grade each day. Then we could put Adam Hickman on that.
Hey, oh.
What do you think, Houston?
Let's go.
Should we do it like Heisman voting where like the fans get a portion of the grade?
Or, yeah.
Or should that just be it?
Just
listener graded depots. What do you think, Dave? You think the listeners will be easier or harder on you than the three of us?
About the same.
Same? I don't know.
I think they'll be a little easier on him.
Think so?
That would imply they like him. Just kidding, Dave. All right, you wanted the NFL schedule talk. Let's do it.
Okay, what are your all's first impressions of the NFL schedule?
Didn't look at it.
I don't even know when the games are.
You don't know when the games are? I mean,
they're at 1 o'clock, 4:15 or 4:25 or whatever. And then they're, you know, at night on Thursdays and Mondays and Sundays. Right? I mean, that's when the games are. I don't really care. Like, the NFL schedule is just the NFL schedule. I know teams play their division teams twice, and I'm kind of with Houston on this one. The only reason I've ever broken down NFL schedules for fantasy football.
Well, I've always thought it's been fun to just see who kind of gets the primetime games, primarily my Titans. The Titans were able to get 3 primetime games this coming season, the first of which will be October the 18th. We got Monday Night Football. They will be hosting the Buffalo Bills. Last time they played that game was on Tuesday, and the Titans just absolutely took them out back. basically just beat them to death. It was bad.
Okay.
It was real bad. The next primetime game we have is a Sunday night football game against the LA Rams. November 7th, which is week 9.
Mm-hmm.
So I couldn't tell you the last time Tennessee just had a Sunday night game scheduled. I mean, I know we played the Packers, but that wasn't initially the plan. That was a flexed game. Like, they've had them flexed before. But I don't remember just being like, oh, yeah, I get all Sunday to wait. Like, I knew ahead of time before the season even started.
Because
the Colts game a couple of years ago was for a final playoff spot, and that one was also a flexed time slot. The Titans do get their bye week on week 13. So, again, everyone's kind of looking at that, seeing as they're adding that extra game. It's like, does that work out well for teams whenever you look at their stretches down the road? And then I didn't mean to say that LA game is in Los Angeles for the Titans when they play the Rams. But then they host week 16. I guess it's technically Thursday. Yeah, it'd be Thursday night football, but it's December the 23rd. So, like, right before Christmas, they play Thursday night against the San Francisco 49ers. That one's in Nashville.
Okay.
All right.
My dad's family always has their get-together that Thursday night, and they usually don't like watching or having the TV on, but there will definitely be an exception this year, whether they want it or not. That's just a personal tidbit.
Do you like the schedule for the Titans?
I mean, I think there's some tough matchups as far as when they come. They do have like a 5-game stretch that, just looking at it, I'm like, that's fairly difficult. I mean, you got the Bills, the Chiefs, the Colts, the Rams, and the Saints all back-to-back. Like, I mean, that's five in a row.
That's a tough stretch.
Yeah. So, and two of those are primetime. I don't know. I don't like that you play the Bills on a Monday night and then you have to face off against the Chiefs. I would like to kind of have a little bit more time for rest because, I mean, as we know, the Chiefs should be pretty good. But I will say, like, people are like, are you high on the Chiefs? I was like, I usually just abide by the rule that if a team loses the Super Bowl, I'm not expecting a whole lot out of them the next season. Chiefs do have some offensive line issues that I think are going to be kind of difficult. I think
got Trey Smith, though.
I do believe it will be a little bit of an uphill battle. I am high on the 49ers this year. I understand that their quarterback situation is a little difficult, but you know, they'll probably figure it out once they return all their guys that were injured. I mean, they should be good to go. But, again, I try not to look too far into the second half of the schedule just because you never know what's going to happen from an injury standpoint. And one time a key injury could derail a team's entire season. So, really just early on, I mean, we talked about it the other day, but they're opening the season, hosting the Cardinals. Then they go to Seattle the following week, and then they're back and facing off against the Colts. So, what is going to happen for the AFC South this year? I mean, the Texans, no one's expecting a whole lot at this point. I don't see how Deshaun Watson plays this season.
Well, he definitely won't start the season.
Yeah. They do end.
They open against Jacksonville, right?
I don't have that right in front of me. I do know the Titans end the season with or playing on the road in Houston, just like this past season. That'll be January 9th, just in case anyone is wondering when week 18 is. But I mean, the Texans, they have so many issues, a new coach, on top of just not having much star power in general on that roster. The Jags, if we have discussed, I mean, you got Urban Meyer coming in with a rookie quarterback for a team that was awful last year. I think they've upgraded at some positions, but it would have been hard for them to downgrade. So you got that. And then, like, there's so many question marks surrounding the Indianapolis Colts. Like, is Frank Reich able to get Carson Wentz playing at a quality level again?
Does he scare you?
Wentz, no.
Me either.
I know that as a Titans fan, it had been a while until we had won the AFC South. Like, before this past season when we did, it was 2008 was the last time. But as I look at the AFC South right now, you have to take advantage. I know that Colts defense is good, but did I say something weird?
No, Bear made a very disgusting gesture as he walked in.
Look, yeah, based off the look on your face, I was like, oh, that's something inappropriate.
You did not. He did something inappropriate that I can't bring to the air.
Sad.
But I'm never going to unsee that.
No, that four-game stretch, that is one I'm looking forward to. Basically, the second half of October all the way into the beginning of November. So we shall see.
We shall.
So what's your Titans record prediction?
I feel weird because I'm having to add that extra game now, and so usually I just be like, this looks like a 10-6 team or whatever. But I expect them to get 10 wins again. Looking at it, I know it's still a ways away for seeing how the roster is going to fully shape up if we make any more additions, because I do think they need to address the tight end unit, the wide receiver unit, and that can be huge. But I'm feeling good at saying 10-7.
10-7. 10-7. That does sound weird. The one extra game. Jeff Fisher jokes are going to be kind of wrong now.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
That's really devastating.
9-7. Yeah. Can't do it. Well, you can.
I mean, you can be 9-7 just with one game
for
left,
a week,
I guess.
Yep.
Yeah. All right.
Oh, there was one game, I'm trying to think, we can get into it, but it's about Aaron Rodgers, and I think they tried to slot a Broncos game in a primetime spot, pretty much hedging their bet that Aaron Rodgers would be the quarterback.
Really?
We can talk about that, yeah.
I traded Jerry Jeudy away yesterday in a league, and I was thinking, you know, if Aaron Rodgers goes to Denver, this might be the only thing kind of bad with this trade, but whatever.
Live and learn.
Well, we'll see. One in the hand, you know? It's worth two in the bush.
I'm going to just nod and agree.
You're listening to 3 and Out, WKGN, Fan Run Radio.
Hour 3 continues. It's brought to you by the Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union. Check them out online at tvacreditunion.com and become a member. All your banking needs, they can help you with them. They got you covered completely. Fantastic customer
service.
Top
to bottom, start to finish.
As well, it's the official credit union of 3 and Out, the Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union. Anything else on the... Like, what was the big NFL schedule release headline, Davey, for all teams? Like, what's...
I think it always just goes to the first game. Because, I mean, obviously there's a lot to look forward to, but like you said, you know the opponents, you just don't know the manner in which you're going to get them. And so having that Tampa Bay-Dallas game to start the things off is, I think, the national headline.
NFL.com says the easiest or the most forgiving schedules, I guess, are Bucks, 49ers, and Patriots. Kind of got some breaks, maybe. Toughest schedule, Kansas City was one of the ones listed there. Chiefs among teams with the most daunting schedules as it comes out.
The Aaron Rodgers note was Fox. It wasn't a primetime game, but it would have been the Fox game of the week for week one, where they are having the 425 slate either be Green Bay at New Orleans or Denver at the Giants.
Okay. You got the Steelers and Ravens also got really tough schedules according to just the straight math on it. So, I mean, obviously teams in the same division are going to have similar leveled schedules for the most part. I even think that happened to Tennessee football in the SEC, going from being, well, first of all, before you didn't have Missouri or A&M at all, but so you played one more crossover game, so it was a better chance to catch a bad West team when the West was down. So when Philip Fulmer's running around competing with Florida every year to win the East, the West was down. You get one more West game, and with the West down, that's good.
Typically easier, yeah.
And you're playing Alabama every year anyway, so it's a non-Alabama West team. So you get that extra game. And then when you're one of the good teams, well, you don't play yourself, so it kind of eliminates. Like, there's only going to be so many teams in each division that's good each year. So when it was Florida and Tennessee good every year, and maybe there's one other team that's kind of cycling up and challenging those, typically going to be Georgia, sometimes it might be somebody else, then there's only so many good opponents. But when you're when you fall down and you allow other teams to be the power team, so now it's Georgia and Florida, it's basically like you swapped out a very beatable team for a team you're probably going to lose to every year.
Yeah, like whenever Florida was, I guess it would have been like Will Muschamp. Like, obviously, he wasn't a good coach, but he was able to beat up on a rather weak SEC East, and LSU kind of struggled there for a bit whenever you had Les Miles
at the end,
faltering through the end of his career there.
Makes sense. Packers got a tough schedule, according to this, along with the rest of the NFC North. Their schedule pretty tough. I guess this is all. And then it says the AFC South schedules are pretty difficult, I guess, because who'd they get matched up with? The NFC West, right?
NFC West and AFC East. Yeah, AFC East.
So there you go there. And then Chargers, Washington football team, Chiefs, other teams that have tougher schedules as you kind of just run the numbers.
Yeah, and I mean, like, if you're looking at having to play the AFC South, probably not going to be, like, you're kind of fortunate in that if you're one of those divisions, because I mean the Texans are going to be bad and the Jaguars are going to be bad, so it's like, well, will the Colts and the Titans be much of a challenge? That's kind of what you have to look at there whenever you're facing off against the AFC South, because it will be, I think it'll be down this year.
I liked the Monday doubleheader. Do people not like it? Why'd they get rid of it?
It has to do with the new TV rights deal, I believe, but what they've decided to do is they're going to give you two Saturday games in week 18.
Okay.
That's how they said they're going to change that. Mm. But so the Titans will have been the last team to play the late window on that Monday night doubleheader for week one.
All right. Cost me a bunch of money, too, by not covering that game. Sad. Is there no Hall of Fame game this year, or are they just not?
I think, I don't know. Did they release preseason schedules? I think they did, but not times, because there's only three preseason games now.
Yeah, I guess they don't have those games yet.
I'm looking at Vivid Seats right now, and it has the dates and times for all the Buccaneers preseason games.
Oh, really? Okay, well, maybe it's maybe just NFL.com hasn't uploaded those yet. Yeah, the Hall of Fame game, and then they'll have 3 weeks of preseason instead of the traditional four. Just that's how they justified the 18th week, 17th game in the regular season. What is there? Do you have a date on preseason week one, Adam? When's football start?
It should looks be like August 14th.
Yep.
All right, so August 7th. Hall of Fame game, I guess.
If they do it.
If they do it. Yeah.
Man. Are they just like having the guys from last year get to do that this year?
That's a good question. I don't know which teams it is. So
okay, here it is. I thought this was the case because I was pretty sure I included this on the drive on the top five. It is the Cowboys and the Steelers will face off against each other. In the rescheduled Hall of Fame game on Thursday, August 5th, April 2021 at 8 p.m.
August 5th. So we hit August. There's football right there. Boom. There's football.
It's the Hall of Fame game.
Well, as long as they don't...
I mean, it's football.
As long as they
don't
melt the turf, I mean, at least we'll get to see it, right? Or have another pandemic. How many different ways can the Hall of Fame game not happen? Are we...
They didn't melt. It was a...
Two of four?
The wrong paint.
Right. They put down paint that then melted.
I thought it got hard, like stiffened.
Well, they tried to heat it up, and then it stiffened. And
I don't remember.
All right.
Yeah, they were having like hair dryers out
there.
Was
it like not drying fast enough? And then put the hair dryers on it, and then it melted. And
I thought they put it down, it got stiff, and then they tried to heat it to melt it, and they melted it, but it It didn't fix the problem.
It's going to be like sticky.
Wasn't that like true AstroTurf? Mm-mm. Is the new stuff?
Yeah.
Can't mess that up, guys. Golly.
Imagine being the guy in charge of ordering the paint.
I would say he's no longer the guy in charge of ordering paint.
Yeah, probably not.
You hate to see it.
What was that? What is going on here? There's like,
I'm actually unsure.
People doing chants out in the well, lobby.
That's Bear. Okay. He has no respect for any other show.
Why has he started getting here so early? His show starts at 3.
He goes to treatment in the morning.
Okay.
And then he says he gets dizzy on his drive home, so he swings in here to remedy the dizziness.
Well, it's hard to get mad at a guy for that.
Unless it's a ploy.
Oh. Accusations.
I don't know.
All right.
I'm just saying.
I think he just likes to come in and check on me now that I'm in the morning.
You know, this didn't happen until you got on the show. You think he misses you?
Oh, he definitely does.
Oh. I don't know. Bear doesn't really miss people. He's not a big people person. All right.
Final segment. Next.
You're listening to 3 and Out, WKGN, Fan Run Radio.
We just blew Houston's mind. What else we got today?
It's down 11%.
Bitcoin is? Or Doge.
Bit.
Okay. Sad. Arkansas tomorrow. Anybody going? Adam, you going?
I would be going, but I'm going to be out of town for a wedding.
All these weddings and graduations.
Yeah.
What's going on here?
You can't get married in May. Who gets married in May?
What's wrong with May?
Graduations. End of school.
Then you get married.
Not in June. That's why you do a June wedding. It's the best month. Or July. Or August. But not in the fall. Anything.
What about winter? Fall. You like a winter wedding?
Winter's fine.
But spring, out.
Actually, April will be better than May.
Why is that?
Because in May, there's just all, like the end of school happens, and there's just a bunch of stuff already. So if you want maximum attendance, probably like March or April. And of course, outdoor. If it's indoor, you know, pretty easy to schedule up outdoor. Oh, it's a whole other ballgame.
It is an outdoor wedding.
How's the weather looking?
I've not checked. Probably because it's not my wedding, but.
Fair. You're just going to be there, be happy no matter what.
I think whoever started that, if it rains on your wedding day, it's good luck thing, which is somebody who had it rain on their wedding day. I don't think that's actually.
Well, and maybe it worked out.
It may have.
It's looking sunny for the weekend, Saturday.
That's good. Davey, what do you think about this report that court documents claim Zion Williamson received improper benefits prior to enrolling at Duke?
Yikes.
Wait. College basketball teams are cheating to pay players to come play?
You have said that Zion didn't get paid.
I didn't say that. I said he didn't get paid by Duke.
Okay.
Do you believe that Coach K is on the verge of retirement?
Here's a question. Who retires
I just
first?
Asked the question. You answer mine.
I said I think he retires after his grandson graduates, which he should be a sophomore this year. I think he's got 3 years. Who retires first, Nick Saban or Coach K?
Coach K. Nick Saban will coach to the grave. Very spiritual. So, nothing on Zion or Duke? You just, nothing's going to happen? You're not worried about it at all? Yeah, the brotherhood.
I'm not
it's like the advantage. Him. The advantage in Alabama, the brotherhood
gonna,
at Duke.
Who's going to punish them?
That's a good point.
Like
they're going to get their Elite Eight from that year vacated.
Yeah, think about that, Dave.
Yeah.
Take the banner down. Remove the banner.
That was good. That was a good one, Hickman.
I don't think they're worried about losing an Elite Eight when you got five championship banners just hanging up in there.
Blah, blah, blah.
That was the joke.
I would love for Tennessee to go to the Final Four.
What about that poll question? Would you rather have a Final Four in basketball or a natty in baseball? Whole win in the whole shebang or Final Four, but lose in the first game of the Final Four.
Final Four would give the university a lot more money.
Yeah, but I'd like to be a national championship in something.
I mean, I've said it before. If it's not basketball or football, I'm indifferent.
I just think winning – most people said basketball, actually. Most people agree with
a Final Four?
Yeah, but
– well, is that like I'm ruled out of the other one, or I just choose one and then take my chances with the other?
Either one doesn't – it doesn't change my opinion one way or another.
I'll take the natty in baseball because I think this – program is as healthy as it's ever been, and I think Final Four is in our immediate future.
I think a Final Four banner would mean more than a baseball World Series banner.
Maybe.
No, it would. I'm just saying, what as a fan would I rather have guaranteed? Yeah, I'm going to take a national championship because I think a Final Four is like on the horizon.
And that's not any. Well, I'll go that far. I wouldn't argue anyone's opinion on that because it's just personal preference.
Sure.
And if you wanted to get into like...
I'd like both.
Yeah, like I'm not going to... I'll take all the winning, you know?
Wins are good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
Yeah, I just think actually making a run in baseball, making the College World Series, and then making that run all the way to the championship game, winning the championship series...
It'd be fun. It'd make for an exciting summer.
For me, that'd mean more than, winning the four games, making the Final Four, and then losing.
Do they ever take recruits to baseball games?
I don't know.
Couldn't tell you. It might start. But I don't even think recruits can come on campus for another month. Right? Isn't it June 1st?
Well, I'm not necessarily saying for this year. I'm just saying in general. Because, I've been at football games where I've seen a lot of basketball players in attendance. Obviously, any
sure.
SEC schools wanting to maybe.
Yeah, football
Vanderbilt
and basketball, they share. Yeah.
Yeah, they share.
Take them to the other one. Yeah.
But I didn't know if that was a thing for baseball.
I don't think so.
When I worked there, I don't remember seeing any.
Yeah, I wouldn't think so. That said, if the team's really good and the facilities get upgraded, then
places
you might.
Packed,
yeah. But a lot of players don't come on official visits in the summer. They wait for, football season or basketball mm-hmm. season. Or the overlap. Did you see the Packers sign Blake Bortles?
You mentioned that during the break.
Fascinating, isn't it?
You think it's going to be the Broncos? Think they're going to get the trade done?
I don't know how they will, but it's fascinating that the Packers are kind of hedging a little bit. And what did you say, Dave? They've flexed two games, prime time?
Well, it wasn't prime time, but what had happened was the – I think I might have said this when he stepped out. What had happened was the 4:25 game of the week on Fox for week one is either going to be the Broncos at the Giants or the Packers – at the Saints.
So they're getting Aaron Rodgers either way.
They pretty much hedge their bet to where they think they're going to get Aaron Rodgers. Yeah.
Hmm.
That's a cheap shot. You don't have to say that.
What?
Well, they're not coming at me. They're coming at Tennessee fans on that.
Well, tell people what it is.
Since Coach K became the head coach at Duke in 1980, Duke and Tennessee have the same number of SEC tournament championships.
Okay. First of all, that tournament's stupid. We don't even really want to win it. It's all about what you do in the NCAA tournament. SEC tournament, who cares? I'm kidding. I would like to win that once in my life. That'd be great. Apparently Nike.
Coach K has won 15 ACC men tournament championships.
15?
Yeah.
That's pretty good. Nike is not renegotiating the apparel deal with Alabama.
Really?
They said, nope, Not going to do it.
Well,
Alabama makes $5.25 million a year from their Nike deal. Ohio State and Texas, $16 million a year.
Yikes.
Still better than what Dave Hart got us.
Yeah. He got like $100,000 a
year. It's just fascinating that Nike's like, nope, sorry, Bama.
You think if they start...
I think they're going to buy players.
No, I think it's just that most Bama fans buy their apparel from, like, a a rack, not off of Nike.
Maybe the Alabama fan base Nike boycott actually works.
Is that a thing? Do they do that?
People like Alabama fans boycott Nike for, you know, lots of reasons.
Yeah, it's expensive.
Well, that too.
Yeah. But. That's my... That was okay. My...
Adults who have not been vaccinated for COVID-19 more likely than vaccinated adults to express comfort toward a variety of public activities. Not shocked. The Blitz is next. Keep it locked in for more Fan Run Radio. If you